Every once in a while, they put out a list of the best diets available for everyone to be using. And on the list, I often see the Biggest Loser diet. So I thought I would take a moment today to talk about the Biggest Loser diet and how it compares to the ketogenic lifestyle so that we can make an informed decision before we decide what kind of diet we should choose. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet. I'm a psychologist working out of Montreal, which is in Quebec, Canada. The reason that I make these videos is because I really want everyone to understand that it's your physical health and your mental health that come together to create that overall sense of well-being. And how much you weigh plays a big role in how well you are able to live the life that you want to live. So if you have weight to lose, the decisions you make about which diet you're going to choose and how they're going to be successful or hinder your progress is going to be very important. So when we compare the ketogenic diet to any type of diet, the first flaw or con that people list about the ketogenic diet is you are restricting one of the major macronutrients. You are not eating carbs, and so therefore this diet is going to fail. And it's straight out said that way. The first thing I want to point out when we're comparing these two diets is this. In the ketogenic lifestyle, you are limiting the amount of carbs that you're allowed to eat. You are not erasing them. When we say no carbs, now we're talking about the carnivore lifestyle. It's a completely different diet. So in the ketogenic diet, you do eat carbohydrates. So I want to correct that misperception. However, I want to point out that when you do the Biggest Loser diet, you are severely limiting the amount of fat that you intake. So when we compare these two diets, the ketogenic diet, you reduce carbohydrates. The Biggest Loser diet, you reduce fats. So when we're talking about limiting one of the macronutrients, actually both diets do exactly the same thing. So before we talk about food, I want to start off by talking about the amount of exercise that you're expected to do on either one of these diets. When we're talking about the ketogenic diet, there is an expectation that you will not necessarily add or decrease the amount of exercise you're doing. So what that means is, however you entered the diet is how you continue. If I was a person who was not exercising, I don't need to exercise to do this diet. If I was a person who was exercising, I keep exercising while I do this diet. It's a status quo. Versus the Biggest Loser diet, there is an expectation that you will do a minimum of 4 hours of exercise per day. That is exactly what they were showing us in the Biggest Loser program that was on television, 4 hours a day. And that's the minimum. Sometimes they were doing five, sometimes they were doing six, but the minimum was four, which means that we're doing roughly 28 hours or more of exercise per week. I want to point out to everyone, that's a part-time job. So in order to do a Biggest Loser diet, you need to have the time to do the amount of exercise that's required. So we need to keep that in mind. The other thing I want to point out about exercise, again, regardless of whether you're doing a keto diet with exercise or the Biggest Loser diet, which requires exercise, exercise contributes to 15 to 20% of the weight you will lose during a dieting regime. So what that means is that actually 80 to 85% of your actual weight loss is coming from whatever you choose to eat. The reason I bring this up is that if I need to make a decision as to whether I will go to the gym and then skimp on my meal so I will have something quick and maybe not the most nutritious versus eat a healthy meal but then I miss the gym, it's important for everyone to recognize that since 85%, 80 to 85% of your outcome is based on the meal, logic would say that you should focus on the meal. Although in the Biggest Loser diet, that wouldn't be allowed, but I'm saying this out loud. I need you to have the information you need to have to make a good decision. What I've noticed is that people who start a ketogenic lifestyle without exercise tend to add exercise eventually because they're feeling better, because their body's functioning better, because of their health improving. So I do believe that if exercise is one of your goals, like your long-term goals for your life, either diet allows for that. When we're doing a ketogenic lifestyle, the number of calories you eat is not a focus. However, for the Biggest Loser diet program, it is a focus. When you're doing a biggest loser style diet, the expectation is that you're going to get your calorie intake down to around 1300 calories per day. Now, you're exercising 4 to 6 hours per day, so your actual expenditure is more likely to be around 2000, which means that every day you're in a deficit, which is, of course, where the weight loss is coming from. The thing that's important for us to recognize is that most people who do this style of dieting report being hungry. It's really hard to sustain a diet program where you're uncomfortable most of the time. Keeping our calories around 1300 pretty much ensures for most people, especially when you have a lot of weight to lose, that you're going to feel hungry because you're used to eating much more food than 1300 calories in a day. So the question becomes, how did the people on The Biggest Loser manage to do it? How did they manage to go every day with their 1300 calories? Well, first of all, a lot of them did talk about the fact that they were hungry, so that's part one. But the question is, how did they push through that, push through being hungry and maintain that diet? If this is what you choose to do a calorie restriction type diet, the best way to actually make sure that you're going to follow through with it is exactly what these people did. Make your actions public. If you talk about every single thing you put in your mouth, so, if you post about it or you write about it or you're much more likely to check with yourself before you eat something. So the fact that I'm holding myself accountable to the world will push me to do this, right? Does it mean I'm going to be comfortable? Not necessarily. Does it mean I'm going to be happy with it? Not necessarily. I'm probably going to be happy with the results, but the actual actions of walking through my day hungry, it's going to be uncomfortable. But the benefit is that I wouldn't have failed and I wouldn't have to focus on the failure with people around me. So we don't like to fail, and making our actions public is one way to make sure that we follow through because we hate failing. Okay, so let's talk about the food. The biggest user uses a food pyramid that's quite different than the typical food pyramid that we see when we go on the internet. So their food pyramid had a structure of 4-3-2-1, 4 being 4 servings of fruits and vegetables, 3 servings of protein, it had to be lean, 2 servings of whole grains, and then one extra. And your extra could have been a dessert, or it could have been alcohol, or it could have been any other food, as long as it was 200 calories or less. Now, when we're talking about fruits and vegetables, there were no restrictions put on what kind of fruits and vegetables they could eat. When it came to protein, they were allowed to have dairy as long as it was low-fat dairy, and that could count towards their servings of protein. And again, the whole grains. So the only restriction that they really had was that their carbohydrates were not allowed to come from anything refined. So no packaged products, I would imagine, if I understood that well. Now, these meals were divided into 3 meals per day and 2 snacks per day. Now, what do we already know about eating multiple times per day? Let's start there. Every time that we eat, we engage our insulin system, regardless of what we're eating, right? Carbohydrates, proteins, and fats all elicit some level of an insulin response. And what we know is that insulin is the hormone that helps us to store because it has to put away any carbohydrates, proteins, or fats, any energy that's coming in, it puts it away as fat or into glycogen storage or et cetera. So, first, by engaging insulin 5 times a day, we are actually leading ourselves towards an insulin resistance situation. Because what do we know? Insulin resistance can come about from having too much insulin in your system. This is just in your bloodstream in your body at any particular point in time. If you have a lot of insulin in your body, you will become insulin resistant. It's the same kind of idea that if you have a lot of alcohol in your body stops reacting to alcohol. If you have a lot of insulin in your body stops reacting to insulin. So by engaging insulin 5 times a day, we have to question if this is really a healthy thing for us to do. But that's what the diet calls for. The other thing the diet is doing is allowing you to eat large quantities of carbohydrates because you can have 4 to 5, sorry, you can have 4 servings of fruits and vegetables. You can have 2 servings of grains. That's 6 servings of carbohydrates in a day. So what do we know about carbohydrates? Carbohydrates are the macronutrient that elicit insulin response the most. So on a scale from 0 to 10, carbohydrates is like a 10. For the same amount of energy, of protein would be like a 4 or 5. For the same amount of energy that a fat would be like a 2. So that's not healthy for us, because the more insulin in your body, the more likely you create insulin resistance. We contrast this to a ketogenic lifestyle. Now, the one thing that I will say about a ketogenic lifestyle is that you're not specifically told to eat a certain number of times. You're actually just told the opposite. Only eat when you're hungry. And so by being told to only eat when I'm hungry, and then being told to eat low carbohydrates, like 20 grams or less per day, being told to eat more fats because you've decreased your carbohydrates. So you're going from like 300, 200 grams of carbs per day down to 20, that's 10%. Then you obviously need to increase your fats, because carbohydrates and fats are the two energy sources that we have. By increasing my fats, what do? Is that, well, I give myself another energy source. But here's the thing. We just mentioned that carbohydrates elicit the biggest insulin response. So by taking my carbohydrates low and replacing it with fats, I'm still getting energy. Actually, fats give you a little bit more energy, but I'm having a smaller insulin response. So what happens there? And I'm still eating proteins. What happens is that I'm allowing myself to eat to satiation. So I'm eating until I'm not hungry anymore. That's what that means. But then if I eat until I'm not hungry anymore, I can go longer until I'm hungry the next time. Versus, like we said on the Biggest Loser diet, I'm eating three meals and two snacks because I'm actually hungry between the three meals and the two snacks. So right away, you can see that by setting myself up with a ketogenic diet and eating meal one until I'm satiated, and then rather than taking a snack, I make it meal two. And then rather than taking a snack, the next time I eat, I make it meal three. I begin the process able to get through my day, very likely without snacks. And then I continue the process to the point where some people find that they even only have enough hunger in a day for two meals. Some people, like myself, only have enough hunger in a day for one meal. Now, it's important to notice that I didn't talk about protein yet, and I'm going to do that right now. In the Biggest Loser way of eating, your protein is lean. So we're focusing on chicken, we're focusing on fish, we're taking the fat off the chicken, and we're using lean fish. And the issue that happens there is that, again, I'm putting myself in a situation where I don't have fat as an energy source, so all of my energy is coming from the protein and the carbs. And very little is coming from fat. There is some fat in chicken, there is some fat in fish, don't get me wrong. But to compare with if I would have eaten a steak and allowed myself to eat the fat that came on that steak, or if I would have eaten a pork chop or a lamb chop and let myself eat the fat that came along on that, I would have gotten a lot more energy from that food. So I'm just talking about energy now, I'm not even talking about the protein. Energy to help me to get through my day. In both scenarios, I'm getting protein. In both scenarios, I would say it's quality protein. So I'm going to have the building blocks 100% to build my body. That's not the issue. The issue is, do I have enough energy to make it from meal one to meal two to meal three? It's also important to know what happens to our metabolism when we do a calorie restriction style diet, which is what the Biggest Loser diet is. Because when we do a calorie restriction style diet, our body reacts to the lower number of calories, so energy, that our body is intaking. Our body doesn't care about calories. It cares about energy intake. So when we eat less food, we have less energy intake. And therefore, when our body goes to behave, it's using less fuel. Now, it's important to notice that the decrease in energy expenditure, so our lower level of energy, doesn't happen right away. What actually happens is, in the beginning, when we don't have food, our energy actually rises a little bit because our body tries to give us the energy to go out there and find some food. But because this is a diet, I'm actually not looking for more food. I could get it if I wanted it. I'm actively denying myself the food. So then what happens is that over the course of the following 6 months, my body starts to notice that, okay, the food is just, it's coming in a trickle. It's not coming as fast as it used to come before. And my body will actually adjust to the amount of food that I am now getting. What that means is that when I used to eat 2,000 calories, my body used to allow me to burn 2,000 calories. Again, remember that your body doesn't care about calories. I'm just using the number to help you to understand this. Well, when I go down to 1,300 calories, my body eventually adjusts to burn 1,300 calories. Now, this is where a lot of people get into trouble. First of all, did I lose in the 6 months all the weight that I wanted to lose? Because if I haven't, when my body recalibrates, I'm no longer losing weight. So now I have the situation that if I would like to continue to lose weight, I need to lower my calories yet again. That's part one. But part two, let's say that I decide, you know what, whatever I lost, I'm happy with it. In order for me to maintain this new level of weight, I actually have to maintain this diet. So I need to stay at 1,300 calories. And most people don't want to do that because it's not a lot of food. So if we start to eat more, what happens? My body has been calibrated to this number. Again, it doesn't care about the number, this amount of food. So if I start eating more over the next 6 months, I'm going to have more food than my body can manage because it's calibrated to 1,300. It has to now ramp up, but it takes about 6 months for these adjustments to happen. So what happens in the interim? I start gaining weight because I'm eating 1,500, 1,600. My body's processing 1,300. That means 300 is getting stored. The only way on a calorie restriction style Biggest Loser diet that you can maintain your gains is to actually maintain this calorie consumption level. And so it will depend on you. Again, if we put ourselves out there on social media and we let everybody know what we're eating, can we maintain it? Probably. You'd be motivated enough not to fail. You're probably going to do what you need to do to stay with this diet. The question is, are you going to be able to tolerate being hungry? Are you going to tolerate the lack of energy? So the lower level of energy that your body is asking you to use because you are eating so much less? Everybody's different. You need to figure out if that's going to work for you. When we talk about how this diet differs from the ketogenic diet with regard to metabolism, one of the things that we recognize is that, so starting from the, when we start the diet, we take our carbohydrates really low, but we increase our fats so that while we're eating, what we've actually done is not change the amount of calories coming in. Again, energy that's coming in, it hasn't changed. We took one down, we raised the other one up. Why that's significant is that if I'm eating a 2,000 calorie diet and all I've done is take my carbohydrates low and raise my fats high to make it again a 2,000 calorie diet, actually in the first week or two or three or four, I'm not changing the amount of food I'm actually eating. I'm just changing the source of the food. Now here's what's interesting. Because I haven't changed the amount of food, so I'm getting the same amount of energy into my body doesn't start adjusting energy level because I'm still at the same level. As I go forward in this diet, so I have my 2,000 calories that I'm eating and my body is burning about whatever it was burning when I was eating the 2,000 calories. But my insulin is behaving differently because I'm eating a lot fewer carbs. So because I'm eating so many fewer carbs, I'm having less of an insulin increase every time I eat. And as I mentioned earlier, because I'm eating fats and I'm eating to satiation, I'm not having a small amount of food, I'm having a normal amount of food, I'm going longer between meals. Now, how that helps me is that because insulin isn't coming in to store as often, and because I don't have carbs to store away as often, I'm actually storing less energy. But the real positives comes from when I start to actually lose body fat. So how does that happen? Because my metabolism stays where it is, because I'm ingesting at the beginning still my 2,000 calories, you'd think, well, how would I end up losing weight? Well, when my body becomes fat adapted, I start to notice my desire to eat fat decreases. So what that means is that I'll eat a meal. First of all, I might not be able to finish this meal because it's, again, heavy on the fat, right? There's not much carbs on the plate as much as there are fats on the plate. I might not be able to finish this. So I go from a person who could have eaten three big meals with containing carbs and snacks in between in my regular way of eating, not on either one of the diets, to a person who now has difficulty finishing their meal when you're doing a ketogenic lifestyle. Why that's happening is because your body is actually allowing you to use some of the fat that's on your body. So when we're eating, we don't actually need to eat as much fat. Over time, you ingest less food. So your body is ingesting less energy, but you're burning the same amount. So you don't actually have the great dip of calories that you experience in carbohydrates. Why? I have fat on board. We only have about 2,000 calories worth of carbohydrates on our body to use day to day, whereas we have like weeks worth of fat on our body to use day to day, weeks, months worth actually, day to day. All we're doing in the ketogenic lifestyle is allowing our body to use the fat that's on board until we get to a place where we're comfortable with our weight, and then we make adjustments to go into maintenance. So in a ketogenic lifestyle, the way that it's different in terms of metabolism, my metabolism remains constant so that my body doesn't need to adjust, and therefore I don't get fatigued. I'm not walking around hungry. I'm not cold, and my body's not like not warming me because it needs to save energy. I get to enjoy my life because I get to live and have the same amount of energy that I had when I was doing whatever diet I was doing before. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times people find that they end up having a little bit more energy, but mostly because they're not carrying around. So eventually I'm not carrying around as much weight as I was carrying before. I want to go back to the idea that the ketogenic lifestyle is restrictive for a minute, because I think the other thing that we need to keep in mind is that when we're talking about restricting carbohydrates versus restricting fats, and as we see in both diets, we're restricting one of the energy sources. When we restrict carbohydrates, we're doing ourselves an interesting favor, because carbohydrates are addictive. They elicit a dopamine response in our brain and cause us to chase carbohydrates. So the same way that if you take cocaine, you get that response and then you want more cocaine, carbohydrates do the same thing in our body. Whereas fats don't have that response in our bodies. If you eat bacon, you don't feel the need to eat more bacon and more bacon. As a matter of fact, when you eat fatty foods, there's a saturation point where you just feel like, okay, I've had enough. And you can go days without having that fat again, like that specific fat. I feel like one of the things that we need to be careful about is understanding how carbs function in our bodies. The only reason to have a carbohydrate is for energy. Whereas we need fats. There are many fatty acids that we actually cannot produce, but we need in our body so that our body can function well. Cholesterol, our brain is made mostly of fat. Our neurons and almost every cell in our body has some type of fat to create the cell walls, so we need to understand that fat is essential to life. Ironically, when we look at the long-term benefits of a diet, there are a lot of people who show positive effects of a long-term ketogenic lifestyle. They are able to maintain the lifestyle well into the years and eat foods that are healthy and enjoy their food and enjoy their life. And their life no longer revolves around meals. Versus when you do a calorie restriction diet, like the Biggest Loser diet or almost any other calorie restriction diet, most people struggle to maintain it. And then when they stop doing that diet, they regain the weight. Now, I will admit that in both scenarios, if I stop doing a ketogenic lifestyle and go back to eating the standard American diet, I will regain the weight. The same way that if you stop doing any other diet and go back to the standard American, standard Canadian diet, you will regain the weight. The issue isn't regaining the weight if you go back to the diet. It's not recognizing that that diet, the standard American, standard Canadian diet, is not a healthy diet. The issue is not realizing that restricting your calorie intake so that you can lose weight is not a healthy way to lose weight. It's much better for you to figure out the foods you can eat that are healthy, that you can allow yourself to get to a good weight while eating healthily and maintain that weight of life forever. Take the time to understand what type of diet you're doing, how it will affect your body, what kind of foods you're eating now, and what kind of foods you'll be able to eat well into your future before you make a decision. Because I do think that once you choose a healthy diet and are committed to doing it forever and you feel better, then doing it forever won't be a chore. It'll be a pleasure. I want my wellness warriors to be happy and healthy and to live long. So choose your diet wisely. And I thank you for watching. If you're new here, please subscribe. I'd love to see you next week. And ring the bell so you know when my next video is coming up. I really want everybody to know that it's fine for me if you share this video, because we need everyone to understand how diet affects you. Thanks for watching. I'll talk to you next week.